for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, returning for another weekly look at the world of non-league football. A quiet week in many ways in non-league, although I'm just re-recording this intro on the back of news that old friend of the show, Simon Bassey, has announced he is leaving Barnet after a pretty successful short spell there. More on that in the coming weeks, no doubt. In the meantime, just me this week as I speak with the National League title-winning manager, Matt Gray of Sutton United, on the reality of making the Football League. And two managers involved in this weekend's first phase of the National League playoffs. First up, old friend of the show, Dave Challoner, whose side, Hartlepool United, hosts Bromley on Sunday. Then a non-league football show, a debut for James Rowe, who had maximum impact on Chesterfield since coming in to get them to face a playoff at Notts County on Saturday. All that and more with David Richardson from the non-league paper. So let's get matters underway. So to our first guest and a manager who's no stranger to this show and no stranger to the National League playoffs either. This weekend, he's there with a different club, having taken Hartlepool United to the highest finish in the National League, finishing fourth. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Hartlepool United, Dave Challoner.
Evening, how are we?
Good, Dave. I mean, well, you're probably better. I mean, the club's highest finish in the National League, but yours too as a manager, which must bring an extra element of pride too.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bit of a, I suppose you don't look into it too much, to be honest. Bit of a surprise when I was told after the game on Saturday. I suppose the way the sort of playoff system works, you tend to not be too fussed whether you finish 4, 5, 6, or 7. Certainly 2 or 3 would be nice, but so yeah, it's told to you that you look back and realise. And yeah, over the course of the season, I think we've merited where we finished, and like I say, it's a really, really good achievement. But we're now in a 16 cup competition, if you like, and hopefully we can be the best of those six.
Yeah, and a big 4-0 win on the last weekend at home to Weymouth to round off the main season, and being in front of fans at Victoria Park, that must have been pretty special too.
It was very, very, very special. I think we've all got into the mode of normal and not having supporters in. You always wonder what the old normal will be like, and it was really emotional in terms of, I suppose, you appreciate it even more so when it happens again for the first time in terms of having fans in. So that was great from our perspective. I think really important that we had 6 lads starting for us on Saturday that played in front of a crowd at Victoria Park before. So I think to not so much have that monkey off the back, to experience that before you go into a big important playoff game, all of a sudden it just takes away all the, I suppose, little things that may have an impact. They've experienced it once now. I know for certain they all loved it. They all thrived in the environment. Hopefully they do the same on Sunday and we can get a really positive result.
Yeah, and as you say, you're in this effectively a cup competition now here on in, and you know, you managers talk about the small margins throughout the season, but I guess in a cup competition, the small margins matter even more.
Yeah, absolutely. You go from, and I suppose that's why, although the games you want to play in, we're a sort of punishment, really, because the emotion around these playoff games can be massive. And again, as much as you'll try and remove doubt and I suppose a little bit of trepidation from players' minds, they're safe in the knowledge that, again, one mistake that maybe you make over the course of 42 games might not cost you. One mistake you make maybe in the next couple of games could cost you your season or could end your season. So it is different. There is more to it. But again, a lot of these players, or most of these players, will want to play higher, and getting used to and getting the experience of these high-profile matches is a massive part of that. And I feel like I have a real belief in my lot that we can produce a performance and we can make sure that we are the ones that, I suppose, achieve what's the ambition for the 6 clubs that are left and join Sutton in terms of getting into the Football League.
Yeah, a sell-out as far as we can at the moment on Sunday as well. So 1,700 all willing you on. Is that worth an extra man in games like these?
Hopefully. Listen, I think that the atmosphere in there was brilliant, and I'm sure it will be the same as Saturday. Like I said, you really do need to look at and use home advantage best you can, and certainly the 1,700 fans can have a big impact on that. I've said since I went into the club, really, you have to make sure that the support we have does become advantage and it doesn't become a little a sort of millstone. I think over periods in the recent past, it's been hard work playing at home because the supporters have big expectations and want to be back where the club were or have been previously, and you have to manage that in terms of expectation. And what they want is a team out there that they can relate to and know what they're going to get from. And I think we have that. So I fully expect them to be, a huge positive for us. We know that we've got to give them something to cheer about and make sure we keep them in the game. And if that's the case, I'm sure they can be the difference between us winning and losing on Sunday.
Yeah, and Bromley, the side of your face, they were the ones that ended your unbeaten run when you played on their 3G just over 4 weeks ago. So is there even more of an edge to this game, or is it just... it's a playoff, you've got to win it?
No, it's a playoff, you've got to win it. Bromley have had a really, really good one. And you look at the teams going to that last day, 3 of 6 teams were fighting out to get into those last playoff places. And them beating Notts and Wrexham losing, and then they've snuck in at last minute type thing, if you like. But they've had a really good run. We drew a game at home with them earlier in the season, 0-0, in a game which we dominated really, and we should have won. We lost a tight game at their place, as you say, on the Bank Holiday weekend on the Monday. So they are coming to the game, full of confidence and with no fears. But we fancy ourselves as well. So I'm sure it'll be a great game. I'm sure it'll be a tight game, one that will drag certainly the people on the sidelines through the mill a little bit, but hopefully at the end of it we can progress and get over the first hurdle and all this, line ourselves up with obviously another really, really tough task in terms of going to Stockport and trying to win.
Yeah, and after that game down at Bromley, I think that was your second game in 48 hours and you had something like 600 odd miles round trip and that sort of thing. I think you gave the lads a couple of days off, and it's been such an intense year with the pandemic, the PPG decision last term as well. Do you think in a way that was almost a good opportunity to help your guys reset and get ready for these playoffs?
Yeah, potentially. It was always a tough one because, again, I think you look after that, we lost our next game and we had we've not been able, I suppose, in the few weeks after the Bromley game to be able to play the team we wanted to play through suspension and injury and managing things. But I suppose what the Bromley game did really, it sort of, as much as it was a loss, and you're going to get losses through the course of the season, it was probably a loss that, in the players' minds, really prevented us from and took us out of the title race in terms of finishing at the top spot, and I think that affected us a little bit too much. We knew that with the run we'd been on, realistically in those last 5 or 6 games, we probably had the luxury of potentially having been able to draw one and having to win all the rest. So once we lost at Bromley, that was sort of gone really, and all of a sudden we were playing for second, third, and fourth, and I don't think we cope with that as best as we could. And unfortunately, of the four that were going for the top spot at that point, we're the ones that finished fourth. So we've given ourselves a little bit of a tougher run, but the playoffs are what they are. Whether you're playing 2 games to get promoted or 3 games to get promoted, it's not a great deal of difference. You've got to beat teams that are pretty equal in terms of over the course of the season. They're the ones that finished at the top. Form, to a certain degree, goes out the window. It's over 90 minutes, 120 minutes, penalties, whatever it might be, in order to progress and who can do what's required to get across the line.
Yeah, and you mentioned the winners face a trip to Stockport next weekend. Is that one for consideration on Sunday night, or given the timescales, have you already got one eye or put one of the team with one eye on that game?
No, not at all. That game's c- completely a non-entity, because at the moment there's no one's guaranteed to be sort of in it on ourselves and Bromley. So, I use the word luxury loosely. This year, in terms of how the playoffs were, is that you do have a week to prepare. In previous years that I've been involved in them, we've had a game on the Thursday night normally, and then if you've won that game, you've progressed and played on the Sunday at midday. All of a sudden, then you go from it is a quick turnaround to sort of, you've got, like, say, 48, 72 hours maximum between your elimination game and then your playoff semi final. This year, I don't really know why. There's obviously a week between them. So I think for the teams that do finish 4, 5, 6, or 7, although it's not an advantage in terms of being a week, it's less of a sort of disadvantage than it has been in previous years. So the sole focus is on Sunday, and hopefully come Sunday evening, we have the reward and the luxury of focusing on a trip to Stockport to try and get ourselves to a playoff final.
Yeah, we all know the history of Hartlepool in non-league in particular. A new regime now in place behind the scenes. You guys on the pitch, you've proven competitive in the National League, but is the club in a position to do so in the Football League as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think any team that goes up is set. I think the way things have turned out this year with the playoffs, you really need to look at all the big ex-Football League teams were in and around it. So straight away with finances taking a huge jump between the National League and the Football League, I think every team in the National League has the infrastructure in place to be able to cope with the demands of what the Football League in longer gone are the days where, I suppose, again, a little bit different, I suppose, to Sutton, in fairness, with them having to change their pitch, but certainly long gone are the days where you'd have to change your ground, more seats in, and do all these things that, in order to, I suppose, meet parameters of being in the Football League. So if we're in a place with them, we'd love to be able to have a shot at it, and that's the dream. And hopefully, we're close to it. Hopefully, we can achieve it.
Yeah, and I remember talking to you just after you'd left Fylde, and the disappointment that you weren't able to finish the project that you'd done so well on there, and then the excitement of when you knew that you were going into the Hartlepool and the project ahead of you there. And in the scheme of your plan for the project Hartlepool, how's it going? Yeah, how far up that scale are you?
We're doing really well. We're probably ahead of potentially where we thought we would be. I think everyone's taking a hit. I think the club, since it came into the National League, has changed dramatically in terms of its infrastructure. In terms of probably when I came in, or just previous to me coming in, they were still running with a League One infrastructure, and probably hemorrhaging money that they couldn't afford to hemorrhage, and that's been cut right back. We have stripped it completely sort of bare, I think the chairman has, and now has begun to sort of build it back up again. And within that, again, it obviously helps if you're doing well on the pitch. Hopefully we can keep that going. But this season, again, I'm experienced enough to know what it takes to compete in terms of, I suppose, what the minimums will be, requirements, what the minimums will be in terms of budget and things like that. We've done really, really well. We knew that we were going to have to use the loan market this year with us having a budget that dictated that, really. And recruitment of those lads has been massively important. They've been integral to our success. So hopefully, like I say, we can do enough to get ourselves across the line. And if we don't, then again, it's a case of building and making sure that you're competitive year on year and give yourself the best chance. It's a tough division to get out of. We all know that. As much as people want to aim for top spot, one promotion place, and I suppose the lottery of the playoffs is always going to be tough. But you've got to keep giving yourself shots. And like I say, hopefully we've given ourselves a shot this year. We can take it.
Well, Dave, it's always great to get you back on the show. Best of luck at the weekend, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Brilliant system.
So to our next guest and another manager for whom the 2021 season will always be one to remember, but he's still got a few jobs to do before it's over. November 2020, he was manager with Gloucester City, top of the National South, unbeaten and top goalscorers in the country, but a greater challenge beckoned. Unveiled as a new boss at Chesterfield, who then sat 22nd out of 23 clubs in the National League after 9 games. He's powered a revolution that saw the Spirites qualify for the playoffs on the final day of the season, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show manager at Chesterfield, James Rowe.
Hiya, Tim. Hope you're well, mate.
I'm good, James. I guess you're well as well. Notts County on Saturday. No visiting fans, but 4,000 home supporters as desperate for their club to return to the Football League as yours. I sense that as much as you'd love to have your fans there too, you're the sort of person who probably relishes that challenge.
Yeah, I'm already thinking of ways how to turn that into our advantage. But obviously it can work both ways, can't it? Because obviously they can give their team a good G-up and support and be that 12th man. But also, obviously, if we can try and influence it the way we've influenced other games, it might work in our favour.
Yeah, and when you arrived at the club, you mentioned the heritage of the club being a carrot for you. But has that been a burden as much as an asset?
No, it's... I think with the new boards being the community trust, etc., there's been a great feel of togetherness since I've joined, and we've carried that momentum through, and it's very much linked up from the community to the board, to the players and my staff. So it's very united here. I think they've been waiting for that sort of takeover for a while, and the future looks bright here.
Yeah, and I remember watching your unveiling press conference there, and it was mentioned that you were the outstanding candidate of 60 for the job, but you sort of try to play that down, you know, saying you're just you. But the thing that struck me was that the club had sought input from the alumni of Chesterfield, the old players, the old managers from the better days in the club history, to find the right person. And I sensed immediately that probably that helped you settle straight in, because not only were you selected for your ability, but also for your personality and approach to the game.
Yeah, I was very grateful for those comments from the alumni, and I'm very grateful to Mike and the board for selecting me out of some really strong candidates that probably have more on their CV than I had at a manager at the time. So it was a big leap of faith to come with me, and hopefully I've repaid that faith with our form since I've been here. And you know, we've had a lot of obstacles along the way. There's been a lot of change in the changing room. I needed to do that the way I want to play. I needed more energy and legs and a bit more youth. So we've gone down that route, but obviously we've had our injury problems as well along the way, and we've had to overcome that, and we needed an outstanding May in the playoffs, and we've delivered. So, you know, anything else now, we haven't really got much pressure on us, because no one expected us to be where we are.
Yeah, I guess as well that managing expectations is probably the biggest and hardest job of a modern manager. You've got the club in the playoffs now from a spot I'm not even sure even the most diehard of fans would probably have expected. When you did come in, you said that things would take time. But has your quick success now, you know, maybe put you under more pressure?
You could look at it that way, but also I didn't expect so much. I said it would get some adversity along the way, but I didn't expect the amount we've had. We obviously had 3 COVID lockdowns along the way, which meant our fixture list obviously built up, and we played Saturday, Tuesday for about 3 months. That also affected the legs in the team and the injuries we picked up, no doubt. But I think that will stand us in good stead, because 14 have obviously signed for next year. So, you know, we're looking in good shape for next year as well, if we can carry this core of players and the way we want to play forward.
Yeah, and I know we talk about and try and downplay the influence of social media in the modern day, but it is nice to see that the supporter base does seem, you know, completely behind you and so supportive of everything you've done and everything you're doing now.
Yeah, I think social media, that interaction has to be professional at all stages, from anyone in the position such as myself and from the players. And we always reiterate that to the players. But I think it's an important link now to the modern fan. And we want to obviously bring through the next generation of supporters at Chesterfield, and hopefully they can get a lot from the interaction that I have, as long as that stays professional.
Yeah, and your dad was a notable manager at non-league level, and you've had your own career as a player, moving into coaching fairly early. You then spent nearly 3 years as assistant to Gary Waddock at Aldershot. So was management, you know, was that always a natural progression for you?
No, look, I obviously come from coaching, the development background, helped produce some players, giving them 1% to them little extra bits, because I always say it's down to the players' attitude and motivations and also talent. The coach only has 1%, and I had the pleasure of working with some real top players that have come through at different clubs. And I went to Aldershot, obviously, to assist Gary, but along the way, I really enjoyed the assistant manager role, and we had success, obviously, over the 2 years that I was there. I learned a hell of a lot from Gary, really, and the main thing I learned from him was probably making sure everyone's pushing towards that common goal. First of all, creating that common goal, and making sure the players fit that common goal along the journey. So took a lot from Gary and still talk to him regularly, and we're really good friends, and it's stood me really in good stead for this position here.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think one thing that I've always found with Gary over the years, even before he was in non-league, is that sense of the camaraderie and the team. And I know you've got a master's degree in sports science, and I sense that you've got a real grasp of the power of positive energy, of the importance of that dressing room and everybody pulling together.
Yeah, I think that would be another thing I learned from Gary, but also myself along my education. And you need that togetherness. You need to be pulling in the same direction, and no individual goal is greater than the common goal. So it's important to remember that, but it's also important to remember to have fun along the way. And it was important that the legacy players that are still here are told what they can do, not what they can't do. I think you can create weapons into super weapons for sure. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the best players in the world, such as Lionel Messi, he doesn't use his right foot, but he's created a left foot that's a wand. And he doesn't need his right foot because he's that good on his left. So that's a different way of thinking sometimes. And that's sometimes thinking in a positive way rather than what someone hasn't got. And I think it's a confidence once you pick up results early in my tenure, which I have. I think everyone can come across and along the line and push towards that common goal quicker than perhaps we anticipated. So it sort of rolled on, and we certainly had a sticky April, but I think we recovered that with, you know, the signing of Danny Rowe and Manny O'Leary. They take time to bed into the team, and we've certainly seen the fruits of those two signings in May.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that sticky period. Did you learn about the team and about yourself during that little struggle that will probably help you now going into the playoffs?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, we obviously tasted defeat. We had some home defeats in there. But we knew we had 5 playoff games, not 3 potentially. And Dagenham and Halifax were both up there vying for those positions. We managed 2-1 victories, with the winners both coming late on in the second half, both games. So I think it shows a good mentality, a good mindset. And I think we can use those experiences in those 2 games to push us forward in these, hopefully, next 3. But you know me, I'll never look ahead. It's the next opponent. It's what we can do against Notts County. But I'm really excited to see, okay, how far have we come? Can we influence it at a place like Notts County with 4,500 behind them? I'm looking forward to seeing what we can produce on the evening or the late afternoon.
And it's a fascinating game for me this Saturday because you've got 2 massively historic football names who have found it not as easy to bounce back to the Football League as many had hoped, but you know, 2 new managers mid-season as well. For me, it says everything about modern league football and non-league football, and I'm expecting it to be another great advert for the game at our level.
I think it will. I think there's 2 technical teams, obviously 2... I don't want to speak for Ian, but obviously 2 up-and-coming managers perhaps that have some different ideas, that want to infiltrate those ideas on their teams. And they've certainly got an identity. They've built that over the last few months and they've hit really good form. I know they lost at Bromley, but can't look too much into that because they obviously withdrew some players along the way in that 90 minutes. So I'm expecting a really good game. I'm really excited to see how we match up. Let's hope the best team on the night gets the victory.
Yeah, you mentioned about your team and how you've brought new faces in and different added different elements to the squad. Nathan Tyson scored the winner against FC Halifax to put you into this game. He's 39 with experience at league and non-league level. How important is it for you to have players like that to call upon for games like this?
Huge. It's very, very big. And you talk about camaraderie. Sometimes it's the players that aren't playing that the most important, because you know it's a squad game, particularly at this level when you go on Saturday, Tuesday. So it's important that the training's right, that those players are topped up correctly and are hitting the right meters in training and the right intensities to come in and play at a certain level. and also their happiness, their mental state is important because everyone wants to play. We're in the game to play week in, week out, and sometimes when you're not getting that, it can make you disillusioned a little bit. So it's important for the camaraderie of the group that the ones aren't playing that feel a part of it, and making sure they're top of their game when they come onto the pitch. So it's credit to the staff around me for that as well.
Yeah, and pulling upon all those staff now, we're talking Thursday evening. Your game's not until Sunday afternoon. Is this now where you and your staff have to show your true managerial skills in making sure that those guys are on the peak of their fitness, the peak of their game mentally as well for Sunday? Because it's very easy for their minds to drift and you know, maybe think about the wrong things. But this is now where they need to be focused.
Yeah, it's look, I've been here twice now with my previous employer as an assistant, part of a management team. Hopefully I can draw on that experience. We fell short twice, once obviously to Tranmere, the other to Ebbsfleet on penalties. So it's small margins at this stage, and obviously anyone you face at this stage, you know, the six teams that are going to be in the playoffs are going to be good teams, and the margins become even smaller. And to win the game, we need to take those moments. I'm sure we're in the right mental state to do that, considering the last two games.
Yeah, well, James, it's been fantastic to get you on the Non-League Football Show. I'm sure many, many preparations still to go, so we'll let you go and earn your corn and hopefully speak to you again very, very soon.
Yeah, good to speak to you, Tim. All the best. Okay, see you later.
So let's have a chat with the man of the moment, the man who has achieved it. In the words of Jay from the In-Betweeners, Non-League completed it, mate. I suspect that it's not quite a man with his feet up at the moment, a large cigar, but maybe he can tell us for sure. A pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Sutton United, Mr. Matt Gray.
How you doing, Tim? You all right?
I'm good. So, well, yeah, what a season. And what a story, Matt. I mean, is it all sunk in yet?
Probably not. And I'm sure it will do in the coming weeks when things calm down a little bit. You know, we've managed to do it a week Sunday, so it's just been over a week. 10 days now into it sort of hitting home, if you like. Obviously, the initial days are very much celebrating and being with the lads, supporters, the board and everything else. But I think when I woke up one morning and realised what I've got to do and how much work I've got ahead of me this summer, it suddenly turned into some celebrations into panic a little bit of what I've got coming up this summer. But no, all exciting times and I can't wait.
And I felt even older this week when I realised that you've achieved all of that and you're not even 40 yet.
I look older than 42, that's for sure. So,
and that's just in the past like week, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So, no, I've been around a hell of a long time as an assistant manager, as you know, but my second season in a manager and to achieve what we've achieved so far is great.
Yeah, your second season, but first stint as a manager. And while I'm blowing smoke up your backside, the first manager in 123 years of Sutton as a non-league club to get them promoted to the promised land, and that's always going to be in the record books.
It is, and I'm delighted to be that manager who's taken Sutton into the Football League for the first time. I'm from Barnet originally, and I remember Barnet getting promoted for the first time under Barry Fry. Back in 1991, and I remember going to the first ever league game against Crewe at home, 7-4 defeat. So I remember those sort of times fondly, and still, you know and speak to a lot of Barnet supporters who remember that time and can name the team just as like I can. So, you know, hopefully we'll be in the history books with Sutton for many, many years to come. And I think that's probably one of the biggest pressures as well in terms of the outside world, and you're trying to just keep everything in the dressing room, but the pressure of, oh, you know, you could be history makers and look what you could potentially achieve for this football club was certainly one of the outside pressures, along with many others.
Yeah, well we always knew how good you were, but now suddenly the world wants to talk about how good you are. And it's not, we saw you guys celebrating and experiencing that. It was great for the fans to be there as well. Great for people like Chairman Bruce Elliott, who I think I've known as a mainstay of the club for well over 20-odd years. And it was nice to repay his faith in you as well, because I think at one stage in your first season, you went quite a while without a win. So it shows what a bit of support can actually achieve.
Yeah, definitely. From minute one, my relationship with Bruce and Adrian Barry, the vice chairman, and the rest of the board has just been phenomenal. And not a bad start in my first season with two wins and three draws in my first five. But then I went one win in 14. But not once did I ever hear the board or hear any comments of discontent or anyone wavering whatsoever. My relationship with Bruce Amado, I work with closely day to day, has just been unbelievable. And we got through that period. I knew what I wanted to change. I was very open and honest with how I felt with them and what I felt we needed to do as a club during that time. They backed me 100%. We managed to turn it around together. And 18 months on, we're now facing the prospect of being a League Two club.
Yeah, and it's a great achievement. And you know, looking at the history as well, going back to that history reference, you took over from Paul Dodsworth, and I think your task was to keep the club in the top level of non-league football. I guess, technically, if I was your head teacher, I'd say you failed that one.
Yeah, that's what Bruce has said in the interviews afterwards as well. To follow Paul Dodsworth, I thank so much for one, bringing me to the club and the foundations that he put in place. 11 hugely successful years there with his guidance, and I thank you for actually bringing me into the club and helping me trying to get the job. And him and Ian Bedder, you know, I speak to regularly, and I appreciate, you know, what they've helped me with and the position they've put me in. But it was, I remember getting the job, and after my second interview, and Bruce just pulled me off and said, look, all you've got to do is just keep us in this division. We're punching above our weight, and we just want to stay in the National League. And like I've said, Bruce sort of jokes in many interviews and says that I failed because I haven't kept him in the National League, but I think he was maybe more the bottom end rather than the top.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a smile, not a grimace on his face. it was a bit of a low-key finish in the end last Saturday when Simon Bassey and Dave Anson marshalled a Barnet win against you on the final day of the season. I certainly wouldn't go inviting them to a party again.
No. Listen, I'm close to both of those, and you know, they're great guys, and you know, I'm really pleased they've done so well since they've gone in there. But it probably wasn't our normal week's press price leading up to the game. I think we've been partying all week, and I left, I think, 8 or 9 of the players who played against Hartlepool the following week out of the team, and gave sort of the squad and other players the opportunity. So it was good for us to have a run out, but unfortunately we couldn't get the result on the day.
Yeah, a busy time ahead though. You touched on that already. Yeah. Will you be retaining this season's squad to take them up and then adding to it?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a loyal person, and I think those players have been loyal to me and put an unbelievable shift in for the club and for me. So I'll be looking to keep the majority who have played most of the season. I'll be looking to try and tie them down over the coming days and weeks. And that gives me a real strong nucleus of a squad to move forward into the Football League. And then if I can add some additions to that to strengthen us further, that's what I'll be looking to do.
Yeah, and the demise of the 3G pitch getting lots of attention, of course, and the whys and why nots could be a whole show or probably a whole series. But we know that you're abiding by the rules despite it only being installed in 2015. In fact, I have to admit, I have dropped in on the SUFC TV YouTube live stream of the pitch being removed, actually. That probably suggests that I'm sadder than I previously thought. But have you secured a piece of the old 3G pitch for your own back garden or for the wall?
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, I've got a little bit. I think, you know, the club have come up with the idea of cutting out certain parts where, you know, the penalty spots, the corner flags, centre spots, big goals, either flags and where he scored the last goal of the season from and different parts. But I've got my little strip as well, and I was down there on Monday and Tuesday actually, and as much as it's exciting and we're going into a new era at the football club, it also was tinged with a little bit of sadness because of what that pitch brings to the community and the club. So it'll be a huge loss for us, but as you say, we could go on and on about the whys and wherefores of that.
Yeah, and for a club like Sutton though, I mean, how it's not your issue to deal with, but the I guess the board are going to have to be fairly creative in making up that loss of income that the 3G brought in.
Yeah, like you say, for months the volunteers and the board behind the scenes have been working for the what if, because you know we couldn't just wait to see if we were promoted and then start planning and trying to get what things done. So they have been working for several months on planning and preparing for if we did get promoted. Now that day has come, I've now wanted to get involved, because before that I didn't want to speak or get in, you know, find out what anything was going on behind the scenes, because I just wanted to concentrate on the day-to-day and the next game. But now that there's so much things going on behind the scenes in terms of if there's a possibility of putting another 3G down somewhere in the local area, which would be a huge boost again for the community and have that sort of as a base away from the actual main stadium. So there's a hell of a lot of things going on as well as at the ground with as well as the pitch. And I think there's more seating that has to go in and floodlights, turnstiles and there's lots going on, but I'm just trying to concentrate on the football side, which is what my job is.
Yeah. Plenty to get your head around. You mentioned, you know, lots of people there that have helped Sutton through this season and will continue there. And it's always been a close-knit group of people on and off the field as well. And it was great to see that, one, the fans were able to be there when you won the title, but also lovely to see that so many early bird season tickets have been sold in that first day. So that it's a journey that everybody's coming with you on.
It is. I think that's why we've got our success, is because of the tight-knit and the unity within the club, the board of directors, the sponsors, my staff, the players, the supporters. Everyone's facing in the right direction. Everyone is as one and you know, facing in the right direction and pulling together. And that certainly helps when you're trying to be successful as a football club. And that's what we've got. And I think not many clubs have got that, and we're lucky.
Yeah, and next season, we've spoken about, you know, when you first took on the job and speaking to the chairman. Have you been given any targets yet? I'm guess you don't want to be there just for the journey, but it's something that you're not fully aware of what the implications are going to be, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough season, of course, because you look at the teams we've got to go and face and play, and we're trying to change so much. And you know, we're going full time as a football club because we have to. We've been three quarter time or this hybrid model, if you like, this last two seasons. So we're going to have to change a lot of things on how we travel. We were travelling everywhere on the day. I don't think that's the best preparation now moving into League Two. So there's lots of things we've got to look at and make changes. It's going to be extremely difficult for us, but we're excited. We're going to relish the challenge, and we've got a good squad of players. If I can add the right few, I'm sure we'll cause some upsets along the way. And the biggest thing is, now we've gone up and it is little old Sutton in League Two. We don't want to be known as little old Sutton anymore, and we want to hold our own and make sure we establish ourselves as a League Two club.
Yeah, playoffs this week. Will you be off to watch those, or watching from an armchair, or just keeping an eye on the score?
Yeah, I'm actually going away for a week, just down to Cornwall for a week, Friday to Friday. So I'll be watching those down there with interest. Just thankful that I'm not in them, because there's six top sides there, and I think you could just put all six balls in the hat and pick one out, because I think it's so tough to call who would actually come out. You need a little bit of luck on the day, a referee's decision, an unbelievable strike, a deflection. It could be anything that could split these teams, because they've all got top managers and top sides, and I think it'd be very, very close.
Yeah, and then you've done many, many interviews in the past couple of weeks. I'm grateful for your time, but I guess one question I know Dave Anderson would want me to ask, and maybe others haven't, is that title win, that run in, all the stress and that, has it affected your golf?
Oh, it has. I've not played one bit. I think I've played once since the start of the season, so it certainly has affected my golf team, but I'll make sure I get a few rounds in before pre-season starts.
Dispelling the vicious rumours that all non-league managers just play golf every day of the week. Maybe,
yeah, no, not at all.
Matt, congratulations. Fantastic achievement. Hopefully you won't be a stranger, and we'll speak to you again soon, and we'll certainly be monitoring your progress. And enjoy the summer, and enjoy the next chapter of your football career.
Brilliant. No, appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Tim.
So time of the week again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers, and a welcome return to the show to senior writer there, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. It's weird that the playoffs in the National League, they're the big focus this weekend. We've spoken with Dave Challen at Hartlepool, going to take Bromley, James Rowe, who takes his Chesterfield side to Notts County. Massive games, and even as we speak, knowing it's the first week of June, it almost seems surreal that the end of season is finally nearly upon us.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, actually, isn't it? That we're effectively going into our first weekend without a sort of fixture programme. You know, I suppose for most people, it isn't strange, really, because obviously steps three and below have not been playing for so long. Step two as well, probably now have adjusted to it, but, you know, to have sort of not a full fixture programme at all is a bit of a strange one, really. But then even to sort of still be in June now and not know who's going up into the Football League through the playoffs. Yeah, it's certainly a strange one, but looking forward to the last year.
Yeah, I suppose it's not all that strange, the fact that we're in the first week of June and I am sitting here in long sleeves rather than short sleeves and shorts, which would normally be the summer attire in Shea Fuel. But yeah, well, we've got these games this weekend, and the National League were they changed the playoff system. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago now, and I do think it's added to the excitement of the playoffs, isn't it? That there's more teams involved, and the idea is to give fairness to the people that finished higher up but in the division at the end of the season. But it does mean that we've got two massive games this weekend, and effectively, I guess they're three cup final wins away from the Football League.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, last weekend, the final day of the season, you said it there, Tim, really, in terms of with the extended places in the playoffs that have been the case now for a little while. Yeah, it was a sort of really exciting final day. It was sort of about four teams all outside of the top seven trying to get into it. Bromley snuck in and Chesterfield secured their place as well, as Wrexham missed out. As a result of that, Chesterfield go to Notts on Saturday, which is obviously a big task in Notts County, sort of the team in form, really, although they lost to Bromley last weekend, but you know, knowing that they've got a playoff place already. Bromley, as a result of that, will go to Hartlepool on Sunday as a player for Dave Chaloner. It's really, really sort of tough trip that going up there, but it was only last month that Bromley beat Hartlepool, so you know, I doubt sort of Andy Woodman, the Bromley manager, will be reading too much into that, but you know, that will give them confidence. But you know, certainly at home, Hartlepool were a really sort of tough test, and obviously with fans back in as well, that'll help their cause significantly, I should think. So yeah, interesting sort of first weekend of the playoffs coming up, and then Stockport and Torquay will come into it next weekend in those semi-final matches.
Yeah, one thing that did strike me about this first set of playoffs is that Dave Chaloner has only been in the post at Hartlepool since November 2019, but he's actually the longest serving manager of the four managers competing this weekend.
That's a great stat, actually, that too. I wasn't aware of that. I'm quite disappointed now that the Hartlepool game's on Sunday, and that could be my opening line for the match report. But no, it's an interesting one. Of course, you know, Bromley with Andy Woodman, he's only had 13 games there and has done really well in that time, only one defeat. Ian Birchall was well taken over from Neil Ardley at Notts. James Weller at Chesterfield, he's the second longest serving, I imagine, isn't he? After taking over from John Pemberton earlier on in the season, and you know, he took over Chesterfield at that time in the relegation places, and you know, their rise really has been phenomenal. So yeah, an interesting sort of fact that I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, it probably says so much about the competitiveness of the National League and how much success means to the owners of the football clubs, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I you mentioned it actually earlier on that we saw that, I guess, this week with Wrexham not making the playoffs, and that costing Dean Keats and all his coaching staff their jobs at the club.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, really, because when you think about Notts County, when they changed Neil Ardley, they were in the playoffs at the time, and people probably thought it was maybe a risk that wasn't worth taking, and then they did have that bad run, and they dropped out of it, but they really sort of turned things around a little bit, sort of almost out of nowhere, to an extent, and sort of Bromley were the same, really, with Neil Smith, obviously, you know, long-serving manager there, had them in a good position to push for the playoffs, and obviously lost his job as well. But you know, ultimately, you'd say that both of those appointments have worked because they've ended up in the playoffs. You know, with Wrexham, I think at times this season, you know, Dean Keats has come under some criticism from fans, but then you know, they've gone on really sort of good runs and just sort of faded away, just sort of at the last, really. And with his contract being up at the end of this season, you know, clearly Wrexham and with their new owners, which has been well publicised, feel that it's probably right to make a change, and it'll be interesting to see who they can get in there. You know, they'll want someone proven and who knows the National League, and probably somebody who's maybe even got a team out of it. So, yeah, interesting appointment to come there, I'm sure, with sort of the resources they have.
Yeah, and I guess they'll be looking to try and make that as soon as possible as well, because we are finishing this season so late. You know, effectively, most clubs are going to be coming back in a few weeks' time to start their pre-season.
Well, yeah, you think with the playoff final being on June 20th, the new season starting in August, yeah, it's not a lot of time to get away on holiday somewhere and find somewhere on the green list to go off to before you're back into pre-season, really. So, yeah, it's a quick turnaround. And of course, if you're bringing a new manager, and like you say, they'll want to put their own stamp on things, try and bring their own players in, and there's sort of a lot of movement in that time. So, yeah, not a lot of time, really, to rearrange things for the new season.
Mentioning Grant Shapps' green list there, are you trying to put forward my conspiracy theory that everybody within the government and a Cobra committee and non-league fans just trying to make sure that people can't go abroad over the summer, and that they will make sure that you support your non-league club during the summer and get along to the start of the new season. We're talking about the National League, and really that's the only games that we get able to report on at the moment. Elsewhere, there's still the fallout from the reorganisation of the pyramid at 4-6, but it does appear that the clubs, all those clubs, as far as I'm aware, that have appealed to sideways movement, the only noises coming from them is that they've lost their appeals. So certainly nothing yet formally, but hopefully finalised in the coming days, and clubs can begin with their recruitment, as I say, that pre-season soon upon us.
Yeah, I think you know, we maybe said last week or the week before that it was probably always going to be a big ask, really, for clubs to sort of win those appeals. You know, it's generally unusual to win an appeal in an FA hearing. So, yeah, probably not sort of the biggest of surprises to see that. And like you say, at least, you know, now they know that they can sort of press on in their new division, even if they didn't particularly want to be there. You know, this is sort of the other side of the restructuring where it doesn't please everyone, and some people always do lose out. But yeah, ultimately, you know, for sort of the FA to go back sort of on allocations is quite unusual.
Yeah, and we always love a slightly brighter story. You mentioned Wrexham, you know, they've got their Hollywood owners. Earlier today, we're recording on Thursday, some positive news at Merthyr Town. I mean, a club that didn't even start the season because of the lockdown complications that they had to face. They've announced a new sponsor, a new short sponsor, I believe, in the form of the production company owned by TalkSport's Johnny Owen and Line of Duty's Vicky McClure, which all helps to raise the profile of non-league.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, quite a high-profile sponsor, that, for the club. Yeah, even though it sort of came out today, I've already seen, yeah, getting quite a lot of traction online, which is always good for the club. An interesting story, sort of. Never quite sort of expect these ones, you know, like you say, similar to sort of Wrexham and their big takeover, but yeah, certainly didn't expect this one to come about. But yeah, apparently Johnny Owen sort of grew up in the town and does regularly sort of go down to Merthyr as well and sort of have an interest. So yeah, good to see them sort of back in their local team, really.
Yeah, and so although we've got too many games, I guess there's still plenty to read about in this weekend's paper. What other articles can we expect to read?
Yeah, absolutely. Packed paper this weekend. Obviously, like you say, it's our first one without the usual fixture programme in the National League. But we will have extended coverage of Notts County against Chesterfield on Saturday, and also previewing that other tie between Hartlepool and Bromley. We also have a review of the National League season and also a few opinions and discussing the sort of main talking points from across the season. Things like team of the season, player of the season, those sort of end of season awards, I suppose. But yeah, lots in there. We speak to Eric Samuelson, who is obviously behind AFC Wimbledon's rise. He has a book out which details that story. Incredible sort of to see that club rise through non-league and see where they are now, obviously in their new ground, of course, as well. So we hear from him about that. We have individual news pages for each of the Step 3 and 4 leagues and also Step 5 and 6 as well. So plenty of coverage right the way through the pyramid. That I spoke to Plymouth Parkway manager Lee Hobbs, who was very much enjoying that they've got a promotion up into Step 4 after being sort of the top dogs in the Western League and benefiting from that restructure. And there's loads more in there this Sunday as well, so it'll keep you going throughout the week.
It will definitely keep you going throughout the week, as I saw on your Twitter timeline this week as well. There are hundreds of clubs embarking on their close season maintenance tasks up and down the country, and the NLP perfect to avoid paint on your tarmac.
Yeah, absolutely. The shed door getting a new lick of paint with some help from an old non-league paper copy keeping it off the floor. So, once you're done reading it, you can get it out for some arts and crafts or something. So, plenty of uses.
A typical non-league, there's always more than one story behind the thing that you're reading. David, thanks again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Have a great week and speak to you soon.
Cheers, Tim.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of our guests and for all of you for listening, wherever you may be. You can, of course, catch this weekend's National League playoffs live via BT Sports. And again, with more and more venues are opening up, and I'm sure many of those will be at your local non-league clubhouse. So please, if you can, go down there, check it out, give them your support. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuller. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.